Welcome to Financial Perspectives, the podcast, where we cover timely topics related to the current economic environment and keep you up to date on investment news. We also provide insights on how investors can maintain a long-term perspective. Please stick around at the end for important disclosure information. More information about Foster Group can be found in our ADV brochure at fostergrp.com.
So a number of investors have been a little puzzled this year, maybe even disappointed, that the bond market broadly has seen negative returns. I mean, how can this be when money markets and many bonds have stated yields of 3.5% to over 5%? Well, the answer is something you may have heard talked about, especially in 2022, when the Federal Reserve got serious about fighting inflation by raising their Fed funds rate, which is the only rate that they control. But this year, the Fed has kept their rate steady, choosing to hold it at what seems like a moderately high level until they're certain that inflation has been brought back under control and headed back towards their target of 2%. Now, other rates rise and fall based on investors' expectation of what the Fed will do with their rate in the future. Investors and therefore markets are forward-looking, meaning people make decisions on what they think will happen in the future. If investors think the Fed will be raising rates, they will demand higher rates everywhere else right now. If they think the Fed will lower rates in the future, expect to see markets go lower before the Fed actually acts. This brings us to the mystery of this year's interest rate environment. There is a Federal Open Market Committee meeting on Wednesday where, based on interest rate futures, there is currently a 99.4% probability that rates will remain unchanged in the range of 5.25% to 5.5% for that federal funds rate. Way back almost 6 months ago, on December 31st, 2023, the probabilities for Fed funds rates as of this June 12th meeting showed a 0% probability that the Fed would set or keep their rate at the current 5.25% to 5.5% target that it's at right now. So 100% of the forecasters in this case were wrong about where we are. In addition, every participant in the interest rate futures market was expecting the Fed to have cut rates one or more times by now. There was close to an 89% probability that at this or by this upcoming meeting, the Fed would have lowered their rates to between 4.75% and 4.25%. That's almost a full percentage point drop. But the inflation data has remained higher than anticipated, and the Fed has kept their rates steady. So the market that was expecting lower rates has now had to readjust to the new expectation of higher rates for longer. This year, that means the one-year Treasury rates are up about 40 basis points or 0.4%, while two-year, three-year, and longer maturities are all up somewhere around 65 basis points or 0.65% on average. Now, what has this done to bond portfolios? That's kind of the question people are asking. Well, maybe a hypothetical comparison of a $10,000 U.S. Treasury note with 2 years to maturity and a U.S. Treasury bond with 10 years to maturity will help. After 6 months, if we bought these things in December of 2023, and it's June 30th, let's say hypothetically, we would have received a half of year's interest payment, 6 months. For the two-year, that would be $211.50, and for the 10-year that we're talking about, $194, both positive returns. But what happens to the price of the bonds? Well, here's where our Director of Investments, Michael Westfall, has helped me out. The formula for estimating the change in price in a bond based on market rate changes is this. It's duration times the change in rates minus one. I know, that's a formula. So if after 6 months, market rates have increased by an average of 0.6%, using our formula, this would mean that the price of that two-year bond dropped by 0.9%, and the 10-year, with its longer duration as a bond, it dropped by 5.7%. That means if you sold the two-year bond today, you would have had a positive return of 1.22%. If you sold the 10-year bond, you would have lost 3.76%. Now, both those are below the stated rates that you bought the bond at. Longer duration bonds are more sensitive to rate changes, and if rates had fallen over the last 6 months as predicted, the price of the 10-year bond would have risen more than the price of the 2-year bond. But really what investors should remember is that by holding a high-quality bond like a U.S. Treasury to maturity, in this example 2 years or 10 years, you're virtually assured, unless the government defaults, of a total annualized return equal to the stated interest rate when you bought the bond. Interest payments per year were $423 for the two-year and $388 for the 10-year if we held them to maturity. At maturity, the duration of the bond is now zero because the bondholder is going to get the full $10,000 back in a matter of days, so no price adjustment needs to be made. Now, a comparison of the return shows that the holder of the two-year bond over those 24 months would have received $846 in total interest payments and gotten their $10,000 principal back, giving them a 4.23% annualized return. That's equal to the two-year rate as of December 31st, 2023, when they bought the bond. The holder of the 10-year bond over 10 years would have received $3,880 in interest payments and also gotten their $10,000 principal back for a total annualized return of, you guessed it, 3.88%, which was the rate the bond was purchased at on December 31st of 2023. Buyers who hold high-quality bonds to maturity, in one sense, can just ignore the price fluctuations during their holding periods as long as those fluctuations are not related to the bond issuer's ability to repay the interest along the way and the principal back at maturity. The bond market tells you what you could get for your bond every day, but if you don't intend to sell, that information is far less important. Really, the bottom line here is for bondholders, the price variation along the way, if you hold a two-year bond and it's down a little bit after 1 year, as long as you're holding the bond for the full 2 years, you are likely to get back your full interest and principal back. The same thing for a 10-year bondholder. Those price fluctuations along the way should mean far less to us than making sure the interest payments are being made and the issuer is able to make the repayment at the stated maturity of the bond. Now, I've used this quote from Jason Zweig before, but it bears repeating. While the bond market and investors are making predictions about future interest rate levels every day, Jason says, repeat after me, no one, not even the Fed, can reliably forecast interest rates or the Fed's actions. Bondholders should expect to receive the interest rate yield stated when they originally bought the bond as their total return when the bond issuer finally pays off that final interest payment and returns the principal at maturity. That feature of repayment of principal, as well as consistent income from interest, is why bonds tend to be less risky than stocks and therefore are expected to have lower total returns than stocks. It doesn't mean the price of a bond won't vary, but if held to maturity, the holder of high-quality bonds can expect to have received the yield to maturity stated when they first purchased it. You know, there's a lot of noise out there trying to get our attention. Markets, inflation, Federal Reserve policy, elections, even the weather all provide source material for the promotion of fear and worry. But investors can choose educated optimism as the antidote for anxious uncertainty. Educated optimism helps us embrace the uncertainty that is with us all the time. Our goal is for these podcasts to continue to contribute to you becoming educated and prepared optimists. If there are topics or questions you'd like us to address, please let us know at our website, www.fostergrp.com, and click on the words Financial Perspectives. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can help us spread the message of educated optimism by liking us on your podcast app. As always, thanks for investing some of your valuable time and attention with us today. We hope to see you soon.
The previous presentation by Foster Group was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of, or as a substitute for, personalized investment advice from Foster Group or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy, or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content, will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Foster Group is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if Foster Group is engaged, or continues to be engaged, to provide investment advisory services. A copy of Foster Group's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.fostergrp.com/disclosures.